Sometimes I get a little nervous when I hear about Pharisees and scribes who wear long robes and get seats of honor at banquets like wedding receptions. It reminds me that priests and bishops and those who are in positions need to be servants, that our task is to teach the truth and to set people free and to bring consolation, not to tell people, give me money, I'm great idea. Unfortunately, if you study a little history, and even recently, every now and then you hear about certain religious orders and movements and even singular priests who seemingly go around asking for money, lots of money for what they do. This is not what we are about. And Pope Francis has reminded us to return to simplicity and to be servants and to be merciful, to be with the people. He uses the term to smell like the sheep. I don't think you smell that bad, but to smell like the sheep. To be with the people, not be aloof. And then he uses the example of that widow. While everybody was giving from what they had extra, she gave from what little she had, in fact, maybe the last that she had. And he says that she gave more. Now, we can often just think about material things and monetary things. But I would suggest to you that our most precious gift is our time. I don't know about you, but I never have enough of it. There's always more that needs to be done, that I should do, that people ask of me. And while we need to take care of ourselves and not run ourselves into the ground, perhaps we sometimes fail on the other side of the equation. We just don't bother. We become a little selfish and self-centered. So my first thought is that we need to see if we can give more, a little bit sacrificially, from our most precious commodity, which is our time, our presence, to be with people, to listen and to talk and to care. That's our greatest gift. And there's not enough of that in our world, to be loving and kind. And that generosity pays off handsomely. That's what the first reading was about. We have the great prophet Elijah, who's in pagan country, in Zarephath, and there's a widow. She probably also was pagan, maybe Phoenician. And you have to understand the context. He asks her for something to eat and drink. That might sound a little presumptuous, but remember hospitality. In ancient times and in the Middle East, was expected that if you had some visitors who came in upon your place, your first thought was, let me feed you and give you drink. The Old Testament is filled with those ideas. And so he was just doing kind of what was expected. And so was she. She said, I would, but all I got is this, and we're going to have our last meal. But he, representing, of course, the Lord, says, if you do this, the Lord, the God of Israel, speaking to this pagan widow, will make sure that your jug of oil and your jug of flour will never run dry. That's God's promise, that he will give us, well, maybe not what we are expected, but he will give us more than we need, if we are more generous, especially in our presence to one another. I want to share two quick little stories. one personal and one that I read about. I am a morning person, and so evenings are, I kind of like to go and just sort of, that's kind of how I am. I do not like teaching evening classes. I am of the school of thought that about 8:30 people's brains go to sleep, and maybe some other parts too. And so when I have to teach evening classes that are supposed to go to 9:45, I try to finish by 9:15 or 9:30. On one particular day, when I had a full day in an evening class, I got this phone call that there was a young lady at Methodist, and they were looking for a priest. And they said, well, there's a chaplain there, where they couldn't find the chaplain. And so I said, well, I'm teaching till 9:30, and see if you can find somebody before there, because that's late. And I don't like going to the medical center, mainly because, except for maybe 9:30 at night, the traffic is horrendous, and the parking is not so good either. So, and then you can't find the person, you know. You need a road map to find somebody in Methodist, or St. Luke's, or MD Anderson. So, it's not always the easiest thing. But they couldn't find someone, so they said, how about we pick you up at 9:30? All right. Last thing I wanted to hear, but okay. So I finished my class. I jumped into the SUV. We went to Methodist. We did valet parking, which is good. They knew where we were going, which was helpful. We get up to the room, and the mother is distraught, as you would expect. This young woman was suffering from some aspect of Guillain-Barré's disease, which is you begin to be paralyzed from your extremities, and it just goes, until they can stop it. It had gotten to her neck. She was in bad shape. If it gets any further, it would kill you. But they began to get the right medication, and she was at least stable. So, my first issue was what to do with the mother, who was all distraught. She was afraid that some of the prayers I would say would just scare her daughter even more. And I assured her that the anointing of the sick is very consoling, and it is. And so I asked her to come stand next to me, and I had her hold the oil. I figured the oil could calm her down too, so it did. So I looked at her, and she was awake, her eyes were open, she had a breathing tube, and so she couldn't, of course, speak. But I thought her eyes were smiling. And so I talked lovingly to her and told her what we were going to do. And so I anointed her, and everybody felt calm. And slowly the medicine and God's grace began to work. She was supposed to get married in a month. That, of course, was canceled. But she completely recovered and has since gotten married. And it's just a miracle. And I was so blessed to have been a small part of that, even though that was the last place I wanted to be at 10 o'clock at night. That's how our God works. And it works for you too. When we give, when we really don't have the energy or the time to give. Now, the other story is about some priests somewhere else. They're not here. Because if these were my students, I would be furious. The story goes like this. There were these two young priests in the rectory. And the pastor says, I've got to go to this meeting. But Mr. So-and-so is in the hospital. Could you go visit him and anoint him? Sure. So the pastor goes to his meeting. He comes back, and there's the two associates. And he says, well, how is Mr. So-and-so? Well, we checked the parish records and he's not registered, so we didn't go. That's what I would do. That is not who we are. Don't care if you're registered or not. If you are God's people, you have a right to us, to the sacraments of the church. So I hope that you will see that we are called to great expectations, but so are you, to be present, to go the extra mile, to talk about God's goodness. Even if it's inconvenient or you don't feel you have the time, your presence is the greatest gift of all. I want to close with just a little bit from the second reading on the great letter to the Hebrews about our Lord Jesus Christ, who came and suffered once for all. His sacrifice fulfilled all of the sacrifices for sins. And he will come again a second time for judgment and for salvation. But that second time, yes, is judgment. And he will ask us, what did we do with the generous gifts he has given us?